I gave a meditation on Zoom at the Institute for Jewish Spirituality, and around 200 people attended. And it wasn't for me. It was because they just do that every day. not everyone does it every day, but it's available every day at 12:30 for 30 minutes or so. And I was invited many months ago to do this, and the only day I could find on my calendar happened to be Halloween, which was at the beginning of this week, right? And it's in the week of Lech Lecha. And you all know how much I love finding instructions for our practice in the Torah portion and in the holidays. And Cheshvan has no holidays. So I couldn't resist trying to see if I could find teachings in Halloween that deepened the teachings of Lech Lecha. It's a stretch. And maybe it doesn't work, but we'll see. Let's see. So the word Halloween comes from All Hallows Eve. That comes from Hallowed Eve, which means it's a holy evening. And nowadays we celebrate the Holy Eve with visits from our little ghosts and goblins, fairy princesses and witches, going door to door to make light of our fears and our hopes. And in disguises and masks, we leave for a while our known coordinates of who we think we are or must be. The roots of Halloween are in the ancient European holiday of Samhain, a time when the seemingly inviolable separation between life and death becomes porous. And in Mexico, it becomes joyous, a celebration of reunion with long-gone ancestors. And now, in Parashah Lech Lecha, we also encounter long-gone ancestors, our founding mother and father, Sarai and Avram. We're introduced to Avram Ha'ivri, Avram the Hebrew. What does that mean, to be Hebrew? By the end of the Parashah, his body will be different, with the whole household circumcised, and his name will receive an extra hey to grow from Avram to Avraham, and from Sarai, she'll get her extra hey and become Sarah. Most famously, there is a divine call to Avram to leave behind everything he knows. Perhaps you can say that instead of putting on a mask a la Halloween, he must strip off all his various masks and roles in order to hear and to heed God's call. Lech Lecha, go forth from your native land. Lech Lecha, go forth from your birthplace. Lech Lecha, go forth from your parents' house. And go forth to a land that I will show you. So how do you start walking without knowing where you're going? But perhaps that is a good description of both our practice and our lives. You know, the gun goes off and we're off and running, but we can't know really where we're going, right? So we invite the light of awareness to consciously accompany us through this life, to illuminate a life that is not solid and separate, but rather in the constant stream of sensation, imagination, emotion, preferences galore. And this walk into not knowing develops over time a trust in the one who is guiding us. And trust, you know, or the word faith even I would use, but not the faith in the sense of I believe this and I believe that, but something that you see over and over again as we sit with these innards and what surrounds us. So maybe you have noticed that there is an accretion of trust or even faith. And we do this seemingly unnecessary thing of bringing attention to the breath of life, right? The ego is like so happy it doesn't have to pay attention to the breath because it has a lot more to deal with to rule our lives. So we bring attention to the breath of life, Nishmat Chaim, and slowly there builds a connection and a trust in that which breathes us, guards us, guides us. How often do we set out, you know, with the idea of what we're doing that day and it turns out to be something entirely different? So Avram walks to where he does not know, and God promises him great things and painful things that will happen to him and later to his people. But I think the most startling blessing of all is not a blessing that he's going to receive, but rather, the Torah says, and you shall be a blessing. It's obvious to me when I sit with you each Friday morning, right here, right now, that each of you is a blessing in my life. Your agreement to take up the challenge and the commitment to awaken is like Avram. You agree to open to the difficulties and the gifts along the way. And you make me feel accompanied in a deep way. Your presence makes possible a renewal of commitment to wake up. You are a blessing. Zornberg, our dear friend Dr. Zviva Zornberg, sees this being a blessing as a transformation of the soul, a mystical experience within the essence of who we are. She says there must be a dissolution. Avraham, however, is looking for a solution. Where to go? Which direction? And instead gets a dissolution of self. When we practice, we look at the details of the selfing process unfolding within. And when we bring some kind curiosity to what asks to be known and loved, there's a deepening relationship with our source of being. A relationship that the defended ego doesn't know, but softens in this process. So no matter where Avram turns, south or north or east or west, he's accompanied by the divine awareness. And so it must be for us that any place we go, especially as we walk into the unknown of this time in our lives, as some of us here are elders, we yearn to be a blessing. And we deepen our ability to be a blessing as we sit with our own suffering, our own fears, our own hopes. And we awaken to the nature of suffering inside us, which is connected to the suffering in this world. And we're willing to experience the challenges of this being human on a wild planet in an even wilder universe. We strengthen our muscles of compassion in order to accompany and transform our individual and our collective suffering. In each moment of awakening, we deepen a relationship of trust and mutuality with this one breathing us. And so not knowing becomes most intimate. As we wake up in the middle of this guiding process that holds us close always. Zornberg characterizes Avram's transformation as a transformation of his subjectivity. She says it's like a mutation, the you-ness of you. Not just that things will be good for you, not just you will have a good life, rather, you will be like the philosopher who aims to transform others to see truth and to acknowledge blind spots She brings in the thread of the Sfat Emet, Rabbi Yehuda Ari Leib, in the turn of the 19th to 20th century. And that he says that one of the greatest religious problems is that people fear having a relationship with God. And consequently, they distance themselves from her. He translates Lech Lecha in a different way than the usual one of go forth. And he says and said, well, Avram is the first Jew, the Ivri, Hebrew. And he is the one that recognizes that there is the one great interdependent unifying force in the universe. And he's told to leave everything he knows for a place he does not know. And that root word for lech means to go. And that becomes the word halacha, which eventually turns into the connotation of law, as in following or keeping halacha. Maybe it more accurately means walking the walk, behaving as we need to, as a mensch. I don't know what the female form of mensch is. That's too bad. Maybe Moshe will help us later. Zornberg muses that when I was growing up, she says, I often heard the term wandering Jew used to describe the history of the Jewish people. Yet, this could not be more wrong. We haven't wandered. Beginning with Abraham and continuing with our leaving Egypt, we have been journeying toward a destination. And there's no mystery about what is leading us to go where we need to go. We're journeying towards wholeness, a state of completeness, and I would add a realization of our interconnection with all that is. Zornberg says, this is a lifetime effort. What a treat to be able to do this for a lifetime. And only those who haven't bothered to live the questions are wandering. It's a little bit like live the not knowing. Our practice teaches us that there's no place to go but deeper into relationship with the one who is creating us anew in each moment. Rabbi David Cooper of blessed memory reminds us in his book, God is a Verb, that we are not solid separate cells. We are flow. Just as there can be no image of the divine, we too have no image, except for maybe the 10,000 photos on my iPhone, which are not all about me, but many, many of them are about my friends who happen to be trees. And okay, the grandkids too. So we like reassure ourselves that there's some image out there of us and our loved ones. How many times do people look in the mirror? I remember I was at one retreat where one of the retreat leaders said, she tries to enter the bathroom and not look in the mirror, but it's very hard. We must have that, you know, basic insecurity that we really aren't an image that can be captured. So like our father Avram, we leave our habitual conditioned selves as we venture forth and enter this new moment, a moment that we cannot know with no words that describe it, although my mind doesn't hesitate to try. My friend Roberta Wall, we were both at Plum Village together, she has a blog at the intersection of mindfulness and nonviolent communication, and has this take on the parsha. How do we leave our deepest values and insights in a way that contributes to healing ourselves, our relationships, and our planet? She looks at Abraham, who will become the father of three spiritual traditions. And at age 75, Avram empties himself and liberates himself of collective narratives. That's something to look forward to as we age. And it brings new openness and curiosity as he sets forth to discover what the Buddhists might say is our true nature. That part of us that is liberated and larger than ego limits and illusions of the conditioned self. Avram was able to hear the message that is being asked of each of us all the time. Robertus says that our father's house is another way of pointing at the ancestral trauma that we've taken birth to heal. You can't change what happened then. But how do you allow it to live in you now? By perpetuating further trauma, or in ways that turn us into blessings? Sfat Emet asks, why was Avram chosen? The foundational mystical text, the Zohar, teaches that Avram, Abraham, was open to receive. So this effort to reach us in this way is coming down all the time. And there is leave-taking in order to enter the fertile void, a continual process of discovery of who we think we are, and is actually much more mysterious and more spacious. That we are part of and not apart from the interconnected cosmos. As God says to Avram, there, in the land, on this earth, I will show you your essence. And I can only respond, Ken Yehi Ratzon, may it be so. So let's be quiet for a moment before we open it up to your musings and explorations and insights and frustrations.